Hi, I'm Aisha, and welcome to the next Horticulture podcast. Tomato Bramrugus fruit virus was reported in the UK this year for the first time. And while there's no further outbreaks recorded in the UK, the virus has the potential to cause significant impact for tomato growers. In this episode, Adrian Fox, the senior plant virologist at FERA, will be discussing how growers can prevent the tomato Bramrugus fruit virus, along with an update from Phil Morley, Director of Agronomy at APS Produce, and Natalie Key, HDB's Knowledge Exchange Manager.
I'm Natalie Key, Knowledge Exchange Manager for AHDB Horticulture, and I work with protected edible crops specifically. So I'm a part of the working group that's looking at tomato brown rugose fruit virus. This virus is a relatively new threat that was found, first of all, in Israel on tomatoes at the end of 2014. It's part of the Tabama virus genus, so other well-known viruses that are part of this genus are, for example, tomato mosaic virus. Like other Tabama viruses, it's transmitted mechanically, so can travel from one plant to another via tools, via people touching different plants, so greenhouse workers, and it's so very easily transmittable, which makes it of huge concern. And unfortunately, it can have symptoms which make fruit unsaleable, so it's a huge concern to growers across the world, and obviously to UK growers. As a result of that, as AHDB, we've set up a steering group to try and to prepare well for this threat and produce resources that growers can use. So we're hoping that by regularly meeting as a tomato brown rugose fruit virus steering group, we can come up with a plan and come up with resources that growers can use to prepare themselves and make their businesses safe from this virus so that they can continue to work effectively. On 26th of September 2019, we had the British Tomato Conference 2019. It was a really great day with a whole range of different presentations from scientists and from representatives from DEFRA, for example. And we had a dedicated session to tomato brown rugose fruit virus. Our aim, alongside the TGA, was to organise a session that gave a really good overview of the virus, so the science behind it and the detail around Tabama viruses and how they spread, but also measures that growers can take to mitigate for the virus and protect themselves, and also clean up if there is an unfortunate outbreak. We also heard from DEFRA, who discussed the legislation around the virus and how it's being managed from an EU perspective. And Anna Skelton from FERA shared some results from the AHDB-funded survival and disinfection project that is ongoing. So the outcomes of that, we're hoping, will be really useful to give growers practical advice on how to manage and prevent this virus in their nurseries. The top line outcomes that came from Anna were that the virus survives for a long time on surfaces, which obviously has implications for how you clean your glasshouse and also activities such as hand washing. It was found that even washing with a medicated soap and with hand sanitizer for 30 seconds, the virus still survived. So they're working on management strategies for that to try and inform advice for growers. And Adrian Fox will be able to talk in more detail about those outcomes. There are some EU emergency measures to prevent the introduction into and spread within the UK, within the EU, of tomato brown rugose fruit virus. And those will come into force from the 1st of November 2019. And obviously, with the looming prospect of Brexit, if the UK leaves the EU, those emergency measures will be incorporated into our own national legislation. The measures will apply to tomato and pepper, and EU member states will have to conduct annual surveys for the virus. So seeds moving into and within the EU will require appropriate documentation, which needs to be supported by official sampling and testing. Plants for planting will need to originate in an area free from the virus and be accompanied by the appropriate documentation as well. At the moment, the emergency measures don't stipulate what or how often plant materials should be tested, but DEFRA Plant Health are likely to provide more detailed guidance on what they recommend as it comes into force.
My name's Adrian Fox, and I'm the lead virologist at Ferra Science Limited in York. And within the project, I'm the technical lead covering virology, and especially with interest in tomato brown rugose fruit virus.
Thank you. And you mentioned briefly about the tomato brown rugose fruit virus. Could you just introduce what that is? Tell us a bit about it, please.
Okay. Tomato brown rugose fruit virus is a member of what we call the tobamoviruses, and these are, in some respects, some members of the group are really common viruses. So tobacco mosaic virus is one of the viruses we know most about, of all the plant viruses, and they're robust, they're contact transmitted. Tomato brown rugose fruit virus is a relatively recently discovered species. It emerged in Israel around 2014, and since then we've seen outbreaks all over the world, including China, Turkey, Jordan, the USA, Mexico, Italy, Germany, and most recently we had an outbreak in the UK. Tomato brown rugose fruit virus is a particular concern because, unlike other members of the tobamoviruses, so tomato mosaic and tobacco mosaic, which are largely controlled through resistance genes in plants, we don't know of any commercially available tomato varieties that are resistant to tomato brown rugose fruit virus. Because it's highly contact transmissible, once it gets into a glasshouse, it can spread rapidly, and what you end up with are sickly plants that develop fruit with marbling and also brown, what we call rugose, wrinkled patches on them, and it means that your fruit won't be saleable.
Okay, and have you come across any cases of where what kind of damages has it caused for a grower?
So in the UK outbreak, there were in terms of the actual direct damage, it was quite limited, but the grower elected to eradicate their crop on the basis of stopping that tomato virus spreading further. We don't have any direct information on impact as far as how much of a crop would be damaged, how much of a crop would be downgraded. But as I say, in most cases, that's because plant health authorities have taken action to eradicate and remove sources of infection to stop it spreading further into tomato production. Because we don't have any plant resistance to tomato brown rugose fruit virus, and as I said, it's highly contact transmissible, and it's a really robust virus. So we're doing work to try and help growers understand how robust the virus is, and the kind of steps that they could take to minimise their exposure to the virus in terms of stopping it getting into their production system, and if it does get into their glasshouse, what kind of actions can they take to minimise the spread of that virus once it's in there. So we're looking at things like the amount of time the virus will survive on skin or on disposable gloves, how long the virus will survive on different glasshouse surfaces, so things like glass, aluminium, steel, concrete, and hard plastic and polythene, and all the common things that you find around the glasshouse. And what we're finding is that the virus will survive on those surfaces for several weeks, and it will survive on hands for at least 2 hours. We're then looking at how effective things like hand washing can be in terms of removing the virus, and at the moment we're finding mixed results for hand washing, and so from that we would recommend that growers use disposable gloves where possible and change those disposable gloves frequently. And the other thing we're now looking at, we're just moving on to a section of the work where we're looking at different disinfectants and how effective those different disinfectants are at neutralising the virus, so that should an outbreak occur, we can make sure we get an effective cleanup of the virus, or growers can use those disinfectants within their hygiene protocols within their glasshouses to ensure that people aren't moving from one area of a glasshouse to another and spreading the virus with them.
Thank you very much, Adrian. And you briefly actually touched upon it before. You mentioned about the symptoms. I mean, could you just briefly point out what kind of symptoms growers should look at for this virus?
Okay. Viruses tend to cause quite a limited range of symptoms within a plant. So the symptoms can look similar to many other viruses, but they primarily in the leaves, we'd be looking for things like mosaics, so that's yellowing or chlorotic pale patches on the plant leaves, certainly on the younger leaves and in the heads or the side shoots of the tomato plants. Leaves can be crumpled or puckered or rugose in formation, and you may also get narrowing. And then there are some reports of brown necrotic streaks on stems of tomato plants. Once you actually get to fruit, fruit tends to unevenly ripe, so you get chlorotic marbling, which can appear similar to other infections. So if people can remember back to what Peppino mosaic virus looked like in a tomato plant, and then the fruit may develop these brown wrinkled patches or rugose patches, which are actually what give the virus its name, tomato brown rugose fruit virus. Okay, so because we don't have any plant resistance, that means that growers have an extremely limited range of actions that they can take to try and protect themselves from the damage of the virus. And so what we're advising is that growers employ good hygiene practices, and information on that can be found via the AHDB website. There's a knowledge library that covers tomato brown rugose fruit virus. And in there you find good advice on how to localise spread. So simple things like not bringing fruit of tomato from off-site onto your production facility, where you could then get transmission on skin into your production facility. Thinking about things like zonal working, so not having the same people moving right around a glasshouse. So if you do have one plant that becomes infected, that infection can become localized rather than spreading throughout the entire glasshouse. But the actual aim of the work is to just show growers and highlight to them how quickly this can spread, how robust the virus is, and then give them good hygiene protocols that they can rely on to try and minimise the impact of an outbreak should it occur. So all these could be applied as a just-in-case, so as a prophylactic measure, and worked into hygiene routines within the glasshouses. We know that other Tobamo viruses have been demonstrated to be transmitted through seed, and that would be an obvious route in terms of international spread, where you do have tomato seeds moving around in trade. However, it's too early to actually tell, and we haven't got hard data that we could actually say that it's definitely seed transmission that led to, say, the outbreak in the UK or the outbreak in Mexico.
So back to what you were talking about before, you briefly mentioned some recommendations, some really good ones, strong things that growers can do to prevent sort of contamination or for it to spread.
Okay, I mean, all of these things are what we would call good prophylactic hygiene measures. So restrict access to your place of production. Don't allow visitors to come in unless there's a good reason for them to be there, and certainly restrict access of those visitors directly into the production glasshouses. Where possible, meet people either in a reception room or off-site. The other thing you can do is train your staff to recognise plant diseases, and that then means that you've got eyes and ears within the glasshouses that are looking for these things, and you can spot them early. And the earlier you spot them, the more you can limit the spread. You should certainly limit things like movement of staff around the site, so you shouldn't have people moving from, say, a pack house where you may be bringing fruit from off-site into your production house. And as I said, we'd recommend the wearing of disposable gloves. At the moment, the experiments we've done on hand washing give really mixed results, so we would recommend disposable gloves, disposable clothes or overshoes, or at the very least have clothes that don't get moved around the site, so make people change their clothing for specific areas, or preferably use oversuits or overcoats to stop the virus being spread around. And then it comes down to cleaning and disinfection, and once we've completed our work on the disinfection techniques, we can then give better advice on what different products are useful for cleaning and disinfection of equipment and tools, but also for disinfecting a glass house should you have an outbreak.
Brilliant. And you mentioned hygiene quite a lot, as it's quite of a key thing. Can you explain why hygiene is important in all of this process?
Okay, so hygiene doesn't just protect you from this specific virus. Hygiene measures will help protect your production facility against a broad range of bacterial and viral pathogens. But when you're dealing with something that is as robust as this virus, so one of the early pieces of work we've done is to look at how robust the virus is against heat. And you essentially have to heat the virus beyond 90 degrees for a period of 5 minutes to try and denature the virus. So it is really robust. And so things that you would normally do, like hand washing protocols and foot dips, will help some way towards containing the virus. But really strict hygiene procedures will be the only way that you'll limit it moving around the site, and making people aware of that, we think is key in terms of limiting that spread. I mean, the essential one is just be aware of where your propagation plants are coming from, so your plants for planting, and talk to your suppliers to make sure that that material has been tested, that the seed that was used to produce those has been tested. And in pretty soon, so come the 1st of November, there will be emergency measures applied across the European Union to try and restrict the spread of this virus by doing just that, so testing seeds and testing plants for planting to make sure that they're not harbouring the virus and spreading it into new production facilities. But as I say, it doesn't harm for growers to be aware of that, and to have that mixture of both good hygiene and supported by good diagnostics, so that they know whether they're at risk of something coming in.
Thank you. And just a final question. What further outcomes from your research would growers look forward to in the upcoming months?
So at the moment, we've finished our first trials of the hand washing, the survival on skin, the survival on glasshouse surfaces. We're continuing the glasshouse surfaces. So we initially wanted to look at survival for a month, but we're continuing that work over a 3 to 6 month period to see just how long the virus will survive on the different surfaces. And we need to repeat that work. And the other one, as I said, is we're just looking at the different disinfectants that can be used. And we're looking at different families of disinfectants to see which are effective against this virus, so we can then make good recommendations for growers on the back of that.
Brilliant. And I suppose, just a curiosity, when do you think that information will be available to growers?
So we're through the AHDB, we are routinely updating industry as we get new results. So we have a fortnightly meeting with the Tomato Growers Working Party to share the latest results that we have. And then from there, updates come out, and we update the AHDB website as well. And so as those results trickle out, that will be updated, but I think the formal reporting will be towards the end of this year.
My name is Dr. Phil Morley. I work for the British Tomato Grower Association as technical officer, and also for a UK production company called APS Produce. Specifically, as far as the brown rugose virus goes, within the British Tomato Grower Association, we have a technical committee. And we've been thinking about this virus for some time now. As early as 2017, we first became aware of it. And through last year, we tracked its progress through Europe. And as it came closer and closer to the UK, we raised it up our risk register list. Nikki Harrison, who developed the tool that we now use on the TGA Technical Committee called a risk register, So by the end of 2018, we were looking to have it have brown rugose virus at the top of our alert list for on the risk register, and put together with the help of AHDB what we called at that time a COBRA working group, which was which mirrored really, I suppose, what the spotted wing Drosophila working group were in the context of soft fruit. We thought that this new virus demanded some respects, and within that context put together a working group of experts to properly deal with it in advance of it arriving in the UK. So any new pest or disease is naturally a big potential issue for the industry, an industry that works on very narrow margins. So any additional pressure on quality in particular, but also on volumes, can potentially be a significant issue to commercial viability. I think the virus presents some new challenges. We're very fortunate having some exceptional people in the UK, both in production and in research. And I think we've come together and been very productive in a very short period of time. And we're trying now to link in with other countries and to try to better understand exactly what potential this virus does have for damaging crop production. And also what we can do to mitigate losses, and also what we can do to protect ourselves against the possibility of even getting the virus in the UK. So far in the UK, there's been one outbreak, and it's been contained, and we think it's been eradicated now. The big risks, if there are risks, comes from imported fruit. Virus will be present on imported fruit from areas in which the virus is present. So what we've been trying to do as a grower association is to link in not just with UK researchers, but also to look at this as a global issue. At the recent tomato conference, we had Aviv Dombrovsky, the preeminent researcher on this topic anywhere in the world, who gave an excellent presentation. We also had a range of complimentary speakers talking about how we can prevent the disease coming into the UK, talking about if the disease does come into the UK, how we can best deal with it. And also right back to seed production, discussing the topic with seed producers to ensure that seed comes in to the propagation areas clean, the propagators fully understand and are fully aware of the potential issue around the virus, and that our own workers are fully aware, fully informed, and understand how the virus may come into the UK, how it may come into UK production, but also what to do should we be unfortunate enough to find it in UK production. Our TJ Technical Committee meet four times a year, quarterly, and tomato brown rugose virus has been a topic of conversation at all of our recent meetings, obviously, and will continue to be, I'm sure, into the foreseeable future. Our brown rugose virus working group meets usually via conference call every 2 weeks to update the working group team on any developments. We also now undertake to update our web portal, which is on the AHDB website and accessible for everybody, and a source of updated and current information for growers to keep them, as far as possible, abreast of the most recent news and most recent information around this important virus. One of the biggest impacts, I guess, on any production business with regards to the tomato brown rugose virus will be on redoubling efforts around biosecurity. So particularly this time of year, coming towards the end of the UK season, where we've got all crops being taken out, new crops being delivered from propagation, mainly, I think it's true to say, in the UK, from propagators based in Holland. And of course, mainland Europe is a potential source of risk for the brown rugose virus. So growers do need to, I think I'd advise all tomato growers to regularly look at the AHDB portal on this topic, because we'll be continuing to update that website, particularly in light of the additional information presented at the recent tomato conference. Although there's been one reported outbreak in the UK this year, we now think that that's been eradicated, so we don't expect a recurrence from that source. We haven't seen to date any other outbreaks in the UK, but we are aware of some significant outbreaks in mainland Europe and places like South America, the Far East. So we do need to continue to be vigilant and continue to consider this as a high-risk organism, and in context of both plant sourcing, plant delivery, and also day-to-day hygiene on any grower site. So taking care that people working on any site don't bring in imported tomatoes onto a tomato production site, as far as possible ensuring that fruit from overseas isn't imported onto a production nursery, i.e. your pack house, and to restrict movement between an importing tomato pack house and any production area that's in the vicinity. I think growers should continue to be concerned about any potential pest or disease in their crop, and this is just one of a whole range of other viruses and plant protection issues which kind of roam the world at any one time, increasing globalization and increasing distribution of seed sourcing places. Then I guess, you know, this is just one more, and it happens to be in the tomato world and it happens to be a virus, but we are, aren't we, susceptible to a lot of plant and animal pests and diseases that seem to fly around the world an awful lot quicker than they ever used to do. So globalization in that sense, but that's not going to go away. I think the advice I'd give is to keep looking at the AHDB portal for this important tomato virus, and we'll keep updating that and keep informing people with the best biocides to use, the best hand washes to use, etc. The best way of protecting yourself against this really important virus. And so my single piece of advice would be to keep informed and to keep abreast of the updated information on the website.
So as mentioned, AHDB are working with people from industry within a tomato brown rugose fruit virus steering group. And I'm also sitting on that steering group with colleagues from AHDB Research. And the idea is that we meet regularly and discuss all the different aspects that for the virus. So, for example, any updates on legislation, any updates on global outbreaks that we need to be aware of. And then the idea from that is that we will share updates every 2 weeks as we have the meetings with the industry, so that the industry knows what we know when we know it. As part of that as well, we have created an AHDB Knowledge Hub page, which can be found on our website. There's loads of information on there. It gives an introduction to the virus, also the symptoms to be aware of. You can download a poster which you can have on site in your nurseries, so that your employees are aware of what to look out for and be vigilant for symptoms of this virus. It also gives details of what we know about the hosts of the virus and how it's spread, and our current hygiene recommendations. But as we said, there's an ongoing project for survival and disinfection of the virus, which will give more clarity and specific guidance about how to manage your hygiene within the glasshouse to mitigate for the virus. We also have a webinar, which again provides this information in a different format. It's quite useful to listen to you when you're on the move. And we're hoping to have a follow-up webinar towards the end of the survival and disinfection project, so that we can tie up the results from that and share that with industry as well. Some other activities in the pipeline: we have commissioned Dave Kay from ADAS to do a study tour. So the idea of that is that he is going to travel to some of the countries that have been affected by the virus, including Israel and hopefully Germany, and meet with growers, industry representatives who have experience working with the virus, so that we have as much knowledge as possible and know how to best approach dealing with this threat. Also, from the conference that happened last week, we filmed the whole session on the virus, and we're hoping to get that out and shared with the industry very soon, so that, again, if you couldn't make it to the conference, that information is there for you. My initial recommendation for growers is that they just make themselves aware as possible of this virus, so that they can step back and assess what hygiene measures they have in place and decide where their weak points are and make changes to prevent this virus coming into their nurseries. There are many people you can get in touch with. So, for example, anyone on the steering group would be willing to talk about the work that we're doing and to either give advice or point you in the right direction. So that's myself, or Nikki Harrison, or Adrian Fox from FARA. He's incredibly knowledgeable and is very open to discussing the issue as well.